Okay, so we were working on the question that Mendius, that what was wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu's Taina, correct? That was the problem. And not only that, but there was a comparison between Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu. And that Avraham Avinu did not violate his belief in God. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu apparently failed. And the question was, what was wrong with him? How did he fail? He was simply asking, how could my mission make sense? Because now it became worse. Lomarioso almost. So, Chazal say, but Avram was better. Avram was different. Because Avram didn't question. But then we questioned. We said, how could Avram not question? Why was there a Myra? Because God is the Makor Hamas, and here God is contradicting himself. So where is the Hamas? And how could you possibly reconcile the two contradictory Havtachos? One was Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, and the other one was Halel La'ola. So is that supposed to be a Myra? That Avraham Avinu believes that God contradicts himself and it doesn't bother him. He believes anyway. I mean, that's not a Myra according to our system. Raw Raya from Saddam, where he said that Hashofei Kol Haaretz Lo Ya'aseh Mishpat. He wasn't criticized for that. So that, in essence, was the question. Correct?
Yeah. Rabbi?
Yes.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kuf Yud Aleph, which is the source for Rashi's statement of Lo Hira Al Midosai, compares Moshe to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And by Avram, the Gemara says the story was Kum Hasalech Ba'aretz L'Arko L'Rachba. And then he B'kei Shmakom L'Kvar Asara V'lo Matza Achakana B'dal Me'al Shekel. That was Avra. Yitzchak, he says, Gur Baratz Azos Ve'yimach Be'varecha. Then Bikshu Abad of Mayim Lishtos V'lo Matzo Atros Amariva. And then to Yaakov, it says, Ha'aretz Asher Toshoche V'lecha L'cho Et Neno. Then Bikesh Mokam Lintoa Ahalo V'lo Matzo Achakana B'meyek Sita. V'lo Hira Rachim Midosai. V'lo Amrali Mashimecha.
So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers,
but it was all the avos that it compared it to, and those different examples.
Okay.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Kuf Yud Aleph.
Yeah, okay. But wasn't there a Gemara that was quoted that Avraham Avinu was a Mahar when God told him that Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara?
I saw it in one of the Mefarshim.
Was that?
I think it was in one of the Mefarshim, I think I saw it.
Rashi also quotes that those things later on in Vayera. He has that. He has both.
Right. He has both. Okay.
Yeah. So where is the one about Avraham Avinu?
That's the end of Shmos.
Okay.
Rashi and Tzivah Pasigal.
And what did he say?
Rashi says Atasira. He says here Harta Al Midosai.
Okay. That's the one I'm going to work on. Yeah. So the question is, like we're saying, how could he not be Mahar? How could he not be Mahar? Because it's an open contradiction. Yeah, I'm taking this one because it's straightforward and it's the most difficult.
Right.
Because what could God demand from Avram or to consider him to be righteous when he doesn't bother with an open contradiction? Yeah, so what I want to say is like this. That in truth, there is a possible answer to the contradiction. Because you see, by Yaakov, that it says in the beginning of Vayishlach. So it says, Vayira Yaakov, Ma'od Vayetzalo. So, and then he says, Katonti Mikolach HaSodom Mikol Amos. So Yaakov was worried that the Haftachos would not come true. Why? Because he says, Shema Nislach Lachti Bechet. Maybe I was a chote after the Avtachos. And therefore, Shema Yigrom Achet. So you see that in a Avtacha, there is no guarantee. That a Avtacha means that Avtacha means that there is a course in the Ashgacha Pratius that has been established. However, it's not a guarantee because Shema Yigrom Achet. Okay. So now, let's go back to Avraham Avinu. By Avraham Avinu, he could have thought that Shema Yigrom Achet, maybe Yitzchak was a chote since the Avtacha. So therefore, Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara is not possible anymore. However, even though he didn't see any chet in Yitzchak, and he didn't understand how will God accomplish the Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, because it would seem it's only possible through Yitzchak. So that's what Chazal mean by he wasn't Mahara. It means that when he thought his shlichus is over, because Ha'leilola, so he thought that perhaps in Yitzchak there was some chait, and he wasn't roy anymore to fulfill ki b'Yitzchak ikar l'chazara. Nevertheless, he didn't think of, but how is that possible? Two things. He didn't think that, according to what I see, there is no chait in Yitzchak, and also how will God accomplish his objective if Yitzchak is taken away? Because he simply accepted that the mission is over, and he wasn't Maharer. He didn't try to think of, is this the only way? Are there other ways? That was his godless. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't so. Because by Moshe Rabbeinu, he assumed that his shlifus is the only way. And therefore he said, therefore he was Mahar. And he said, how could that was because he was preoccupied with his shlichus. He had a struggle with his shlichus. Like we mentioned. And therefore, the struggle tied him to the outcome of his shlichus. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you should go with the Zakenim to Paro. But the Zakenim really didn't go. They were, what's Rashi's lashon? They separated one by one. So it could be that the Haftacha wasn't there anymore. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have realized or thought that maybe the Shlichus doesn't exist anymore because they were not courageous enough to go to Paro. And since that's the case, so the Shlichus is off. How will God accomplish what he wants to? Harbei Shlichus L'Makom. Harbei Shlichus L'Makom. So, but he Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think that way. He assumed that his shlichus is the only way. Now, why did he assume that? Why did he assume that? Because he had a conflict with Shlichus. And he didn't want to accept the Shlichus. It went against his grain. But once he accepted the Shlichus, he couldn't see. He was unable to see how God could accomplish what he wants to without the shoes. So, he was Mahara. In other words, what was wrong with his complaint was not the essence of the complaint, which is that why did you give me the shlichus? But he should have thought that maybe the shlichus is not going to work. Maybe that's the end of the shlichus. Why didn't he think of that possibility? But the answer is that he was overcome by the acceptance of the shlichus. And therefore he assumed, he saw everything in terms of, he was fixated on the shlichus because he had a conflict in the shlichus. And therefore he assumed that the only way that it could work is through the shlichus. That was the faith. Yeah. Yeah, just a minute. I want to round it off a little more. See, what I'm saying is that he was so fixated on accomplishing his mission that he couldn't perceive. He couldn't perceive God going on or accomplishing without his lips, once he accepted.
One would think the other way, if he had a conflict about it, then he'd be happy to be off the hook.
I mean, why doesn't it work the other way?
That's what I would think.
Maybe like the only way he was able to accept it was because he thought there was like no other way to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim except through Hashlichus. Like what forced him to accept it was the inevitability that this was the only possible way.
Yeah, it's interesting because Chazal say Atos Sira. So they say that Atos Sira means now you'll see, but you won't see loss of level because of the other's chait. But his chait was also involved with his struggle with the shlichus. And he wanted to accomplish the shlichus, so he hit the rock. But he was over-involved in accomplishing the shlichus. In other words, once he accepted to take upon himself the burden of the shlichus, he was absorbed in that area. And since he was absorbed in that area, he couldn't see outside the area. And therefore, he assumed that the only way is the shlichus. And he couldn't think outside the shlichus, because that was the area of his conflict. And the area of his conflict drew all his energies. And since it drew all his energies, he couldn't think outside of that area. So everything he tied to the shlichus. And therefore he complained and he said, why did you send me on the shlichus? and he didn't think that maybe the shlichus is over. If it's over, how will God accomplish what he wants to? That's being Mahara. That's being Mahara Acharabo. Being Mahara Achar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that was what was wrong. In other words, the personal struggle with the shlichus drew all his energies, and he was fixated to that area. And you see that that's the case. Ross is lover. That's why he didn't make it in Teres Yisrael, because he was overcome with his mission, accomplishing his mission, and he wasn't the Kadoshim Shemayim, because he was afraid that it wouldn't occur. But that was really none of his business. He should have simply stuck to the shluchos, and if it's going to fail, it's going to fail. But you see, apparently, that once he accepted it, he couldn't let go of it. You see, also Hayad Hashem Tiktzor, that with this love, that he didn't think that God has another way of doing it. That was his chait. By Avram Avinu, Avram was able to let go of it. And therefore, by Yitzchak was no kasha, because he thought, Shema Yigram Achait. And I, what's going to happen with Kibi Yitzchak Yikaro Chazara? I don't know. I have no idea. I can't be Maharaj HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do that. He was unable to leave the area of his shlichus and assume that the shlichus is batel mevatel. Because the energy that he put into the conflict with the shlichus and accepting the shlichus drew him away from the possibility that the whole shlichus is batel. And if the shlichus is batel, how will God accomplish it? What he wants? So I don't know. I can't be Mahara. That was the faith.
I think the idea that he was totally absorbed by it, I think that helps to explain that whole incident on the way back, that he was pointing to the man and says he was Nisrashel with the Mila of his son.
Correct. You mean he was Nisrashel because
his energies. Yeah.
Because of the same reason.
Yeah, the same reason, that it was more important to get back and get to Mitzrayim first.
Yeah, that's correct.
You put it off. It affected
Ibn Ezra.
Priorities.
That's right. There's an Ibn Ezra that says that, just a second. Yeah, I think it's in Vayishlach, Ibn Ezra. He says, "Al tetamo," and don't be astounded that a Navi could make a mistake and his mission could be ended, because there is nobody greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, and God, that his whole shlichus could have been stopped. So apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to think in those terms. That's why it wasn't the kasha, the content of the kasha of Omar Ariosa. The thing was, he shouldn't have asked the question altogether. He should have assumed Shem Yigrum Achait, and therefore they're not worthy, and therefore I can't do the shlichus, and it's Balam Avudl. What's going to happen? That's not my area. That's the way the others did it. But Moshe Rabbeinu could not do it because he was too involved in the struggle. And being involved in the struggle caused him to assume that the shlichus is a sine qua non. It's the only way it's going to happen. That's what it means to be Maharach Midosai. That Avram was a Mahar. Aiki b'Yitzchak Yikol Chozara. How else could God accomplish that? That's none of his business. That's not his area. So he was happy to accept the shlichus of Ha'le'olah, even though it went against his whole understanding of how the Hashgacha Pratis is supposed to work out. He didn't get involved in that. But Moshe Rabbeinu apparently did get involved in that. And he thought that it's not possible without a shlichus. And therefore, he complained about the shlichus. See, it wasn't that he complained about the shlichus. It was that he assumed that the shlichus is a sine qua non. That it can't be done without the shlichus. That was the chait.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Are you saying that when Avram thought Shema Yigra Mechait, that was now a cancellation of Ki Yitzchui Kari Zara?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I think especially in light of the story that Rabbi Mann brought up, the story by the Malone, that he should have, he definitely had reason to think that maybe he had a chait. Even more so that he didn't, consider that possibility.
You mean that he was in the Sranshul and Mitzvah's Mila?
Right. I mean, yeah, you explained it specifically Mila, but it's like, then he really did have something he really could have pointed to, on the way to do the Shlichus, he really did have something he could really point to and say, yeah, maybe I did a chait, maybe the Shlichus is going to go differently now.
Yeah, I think what Rabbi Mann is saying is that's why he was in Sranshul, the Mitzvah's Mila, because he felt he has to do the Shlichus. The burden of the Shlichus caused him to be in Sranshul. I believe that's what Rabbi Mann is saying, right?
Right, I understand.
That's what I meant, to back up that point that you made.
Yeah, I was saying a separate point, just that even more so that he should have realized the possibility. It's even like more surprising, I guess, that he didn't consider the possibility that you're saying, because he really did have a very recent chait he could point to that, you know, after the shlichus was initiated and before it was continued, he really had something he could point to.
Also, excuse me, along the lines, I think that Joey, that he could have seen from that he wasn't essential, because if he almost died, and because Tzipora intervened, so he was saved. How could he possibly die? So yeah, what would happen to the Jews? So from that you can deduce that God would find another way.
But Joey, aren't you saying that he's so wrapped up in it, that's why that's your point, Joe, right? That this shows, it emphasizes how wrapped up he was in it.
Yeah, but that's a question. You could ask a question when you read that. I always used to bother when you read that story. It appears that Moshe could have died. He would have died. But she intervened. How could it possibly could have died? Then what would happen to the Jews? Who would take them out? So you have to assume they'd come out a different way. I mean, from that, you could deduce that his shlichus was not essential.
But Joe, I think Joe was saying that just the opposite, that he had something staring at him at the face where he was dispensable,
no,
and yet...
I understand what Joey is saying. I understand what he's saying. He's saying, so there's more reason for Moshe to think that he could have sinned. That's what I think Joey is saying. You confirm it.
Right, right, that's true. And what you're saying, Rabbi Mann, is the further point. Yeah, absolutely.
Further point.
Excellent.
And you see clearly from that, you could deduce when you think it over that I'm not essential.
But the fact that he didn't make that decision is showing how much he was wrapped up in it.
All right, that's fine. I'm just.
I thought that was Joey's point.
No, Joey's point is different.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. My point is.
Okay. All
right. I like whatever Amanda's saying.
Yeah, but at any rate, at least we can point to the area where he was where he failed to live up to his expectations or what he was to his bechira, and that was in the fact that he couldn't imagine that without his shlichus that it could be accomplished. He didn't think in that direction. Now the question why is a good question, but I don't know if we can answer that. But I'm saying that explains the Taina. Can't answer every question that went on to understand Moshe Rabbeinu's thoughts, but at least you could point to the area, and the area was that he failed to give credence to the idea that maybe his whole shlichus is over. He didn't assume that. He assumed the shlichus is on and lamar also. So that's why he had that question. The question was a good question. The point is, it was based on something that was false. And that was one way the others succeeded. That even though it's an open contradiction, they still said, Shema Yigram Achetz. How is God going to accomplish his mission? That's not my business. But for some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to do it. And he was wrapped up in simply whether he could accomplish his shlichus or not. And he couldn't, his mind did not work along the lines that maybe the shlichus is bubble because this Canaan failed to come along with him, which was what they were supposed to do. And now they're not right for the Gula.
Rebbe, your concept is also buttressed by the fact that he argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Hashem told him, when he asked Hashem, what's your name? And he said, Hashem is a Goel, Ekya Asher Ekya, now, and I'll be with them in future, so Hashem is a Goel. So Moshe's argument was, be a Goel without me. But Hashem convinced him that he needs him to be Shlichos. So in Moshe's mind, he viewed that Hashem is a Goel for this Geula required him to be the vehicle of the Shlichos. I mean, that's what he argued with him about for so long. He didn't want to be that vehicle. He said Hashem could be a Goel through Aaron or through other vehicles. But Hashem convinced him that he was necessary. So in his mind, it was inexorably tied together.
In his mind, it was necessary.
I'm bothered by this.
Go ahead, Rabbi Man.
No, I'm just bothered. Now that I mentioned it, it really bothered me. If he experienced, he came that close to death, and he knew that God was prepared to take him, then after, how could he possibly believe that he was essential after that? It's clear.
God didn't take him, though.
No, but God would have if not for the...
Okay. Oh, that's true, but he...
No, so then that, but then that's... No, if that's the fact, that if she would not have circumcised the son, he'd be dead. That means that the mission would have gone on without him. Clear. I mean, that's clear. Even in spite of the fact that I appointed you, in spite of the fact that I need you for this task, if you don't do the mealy, you're not worthy, and now I'll get somebody else. That's the message.
That's correct. But that was only if he was worthy. But he didn't see any hate in himself. In other words, he believed that the Jew, the Klal Yisrael, was roi for a gula, and he failed to see that in the fact that this Canaan did not come, that rendered them not roi for gula, and the whole mission is over. He correctly, he made that evaluation. But Avraham Avinu didn't make that evaluation. He didn't say that Yitzchak, I know, is a Tzadik Gomer, and therefore he wasn't a Chote. So how could I say Shem Yigru Machet? He assumed that if that's the case, then he made a mistake. And he didn't evaluate Yitzchak properly. And he's not really. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do that. When it came to Kol Yisrael, he assumed that they were royal Gula and the Shlichus is on. And the fact that the Tzkenim didn't have the courage to confront Paro was not a reason for them to be not royal for the Gula. So that was his evaluation. But he placed too much stock in his evaluation. I mean, that's the way I would put it. The fate was that he was Mahar. What does Mahar mean? That he made his own decision. He had too much faith in his own interpretation. And his interpretation was that Kol Yisrael was right for Gula, and the fact that this came and failed to have the courage would not be a reason for them to lose their right to the Gula. That was his evaluation. But he gave so much faith into it, he had so much faith in his own personal evaluation that he Shlomo Ariyosef. For some reason he couldn't believe that the Klal Yisrael lost their right because of that faith. Because this kingdom failed to do it, what they were supposed to. But I mean, we're working it out piece by piece. But I think that's what leads us to. But he didn't have any doubt about his own evaluation. He was cocksure about it. He was so sure about it that he thought that it's a kasha on Lomarios. He shouldn't have been so certain about his own interpretation. Like Avraham with Yitzchak was not certain. So that's why he didn't question.
I mean, it's not that he was incapable of seeing that the shlichus didn't have to take place through him earlier, just that the way the events unfolded at that time, at the moment where, you know, the shlichus went awry, at that moment he felt confident enough in his assessment to have that question.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because otherwise you'd have a man's question.
Right, right. It's not that he never possessed the ability to recognize that the mission doesn't have to, you know, just at that moment his assessment was too confident because of the conflict he had.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
That's correct. You have to modify it a little bit because you have a man's right. He saw from the fact that he apparently the mission could always be over if he doesn't live up to his expectations. So that he knew. That he knew. And that has to be that way. That if he's Nislach Lev B'chait, he'll lose his ability to be a leader. That he knew. But over here was a different thing. It was his own evaluation of Klal Yisrael. That the fact that his Zekanim failed to follow him was the reason why Klal Yisrael lost their ability to have Gula. That he couldn't see. For what reason? I don't know. I don't know if you could tie it to his desire to accomplish his mission. That could very well be. And it's mashma from Chazal. That's what it's tied to, because they say atasira. But Allah said, "Love what you want." What is God to do with it? In other words, they were saying that there's something over here that is a seed of the chait that will transpire later. And what was that? That was the fact that he was very concerned and very given over without any question to the accomplishment of his mission. And that was his chait. And that's why he hit the rock, because he was overcome at that time with his mission. That fits in perfectly. You see, when you deal with these areas, you have to, well, first of all, you have to have patience to work out the ideas, but also you have to realize that you can't understand what's going on in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind. We're not Moshe Rabbeinu, but you could point them. The best you could do is to point to something which is the core of the idea that the Torah is trying to give us. And that idea was that in Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint, he failed in one respect, to assume that the Gula is over. Now, why he did that exactly is difficult to say. From that Chazal, it would seem it was that he wanted to accomplish his mission. And that would seem to be the same thing over here. In that respect, Avraham Avinu was greater, because Avraham Avinu didn't do that. He assumed, okay, Ki Yisroel Kol HaChazara, it's not possible anymore. What will happen, I don't know. But Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to do it for some reason. Apparently he was very tied to the accomplishment of his mission. And that's why he asked the question. But that would fit him very well. And you can't ask a kasha. Rabbi Mann's kasha was, didn't he know that it could be done without him? Yeah, he definitely knew that. He'd be a person, you'd have to be a fool not to know that. Because if he's a chote, how could he be a leader? That he knew. But over here, in this instance, he did not know. In this instance, he assumed that the fact that the Zkenim failed to do what they were supposed to, could be the reason why the whole mission is over and they're not right for Gula. And what's going to happen? I don't know. Maybe they'll be in Mitzrayim another 100 years. Who knows? But he couldn't think along those lines. He was fixed with the idea that his mission is in place. And that Klal Yisrael is still right for Gula. That was his mistake. I mean, we have to back off a little bit in terms of understanding what Moshe Rabbeinu's exact fate was. We can only say it has to do with his desire to accomplish his mission.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Is this way of learning the Maharach Amidosai, that he should have realized maybe the mission is over and there's another way for it to occur? Is that, will that work with the later Rashi and that the Gemara that Mendy was quoting, those other cases by Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov with giving the land and then they have to buy the land? Or is it possible to learn that, or is that going to have to be a different type of explanation?
I have to think into it. You mean is that the other Chazal?
Right.
All right, hold that off for a second. Let's first make sure we understand this Chazal. Okay, this Chazal works out very well, correct?
Right, you're saying that Maharach Midosai means it's very similar to the idea of a Yad Hashem Tiktzar, is he should have just said that maybe his own shlichus failed, but there's Harbish Shlichimishna Makom to accomplish.
No, I'm backing off on that. I'm saying that we don't know that because the Rabbi Man's kasha. His question was, Vavakash Amiso. All I'm saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake in his interpretation, that he failed to recognize that the fact that the Zkenim did not want to go along, did not actually go along, could be a reason for the Klal Yisrael not to deserve Geula altogether. He assumed that his mission was in place and they weren't Chotim. And there's no reason why the Geula should come to an abrupt end over here. That was a mistake. In other words, I'm putting it more in generic terms, not in specifics.
But also his very evaluation. I think we mentioned this yesterday. His very evaluation that that's it. It's over. That once this happened, it can't be resurrected. That was wrong.
Which evaluation is that?
In other words, that that's it. It's over. Their spirit has been crushed, and that's it. They're not going to go forward. The mission, because of what Paro had done, the setback. The setback was of such a nature that it destroyed their spirit, and there's no way that's what he's complaining about. How can I lead them?
Right.
That was a false. I mean, that was a different false conclusion. Because Harber Shluchim got to work it out. I mean, he could work it out. We said yesterday, restoring their spirit, the chayin, and so on and so forth. But his conclusion that's it, it's over, he had no right to make that conclusion. And I think that fits, I think that fits in with the general idea. When you feel that you are so essential to something, so you're going to exaggerate a setback. It's like, that's it, it's over. I mean, I'm not analyzing Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm just saying in general terms, there's a connection.
Isn't Rabbi Yanni saying something almost the opposite of that? Not that he thought it was over, but his mistake was not saying maybe it is over. On those two different ideas?
Yeah, those are two different ideas.
I think yesterday we took the first... I think that's how we approached it yesterday. Doesn't mean you can't change, but I'm just... That sounds pretty feasible.
I mean, isn't it? I mean, you could say that's two sides of the same coin. I mean, it's the conclusion that the questioning stems from the fact that he believed that the Gula must take place now, yet he's seeing that it's not taking place. I mean, isn't that the same? Like two different, it's manifesting the two trends, emanating from the same sort of problematic conclusion that Moshe made. No. That the shlichus has to happen now, or the shlichus has to be successful now.
I mean, the complaint seems to be focused on himself. Lamazah shlachtani kimeos basi heira lamazah. It seems to be focusing on himself to reinforce that idea that he's not worthy.
That he can't accomplish.
He's still struggling with that. Even though he was forced to accept a mission, but inwardly he didn't accept and believe that he was capable.
In other words, his judgment was bad in both cases.
Yeah, his judgment, was contrary to Hashem. Hashem said that you could do it. His judgment was that, no, I have a speech defect and this and that, and I just can't do it.
Can't be done.
Not through him. He said, "Shlach l'abia tishlach."
So, what was the chait?
The chait was that he should have not been maharer. Hashem said that you could do it. Do it. Do what you have to do, and that's it.
That sounds like a firm answer.
Well,
I mean, it doesn't give any insight. What we're saying is that maybe he should have assumed the mission was over. Not question the mission itself. But we're assuming that the question on the mission was a legitimate question. And he wasn't expected to know the answer. Because the answer was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that something else is going to occur to change the given situation. But she couldn't have known. So we're saying his question was legitimate.
But why doesn't that justify, Rabbi, that Moshe should have just trusted in God? Like, maybe it sounds from, but there's certain things that could happen that he couldn't have known. So that's why he should just trust in God and say that, maybe...
That wasn't in the plan. He didn't see that anyways in the mission.
I know he couldn't see that, but I mean, that is the fact that there was a chait and there was a setback, but ultimately this was capable of being reversed and the gula still could occur. And like, he didn't know that, but that's exactly why you should just trust in God, because there are things that a person can't know, but God knows. And he has, you know, the Midas Kesh Baruch Hu beyond your ability to fathom. So therefore he should just, I know it's true, but why isn't that true?
Yeah, but doesn't that leave us with no insight, no ideas? You're saying you should have known that things can happen. I mean, what kind of a complaint is that? So why didn't he know? You're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why didn't he just say that?
Right.
I mean, it's too passionate. You're saying if that's, right, you're saying if that's like Moshe Rabbeinu was definitely from, so he would have said that. Must be that's not the right thing to do. You're supposed to understand.
Correct.
I mean, that's what you're saying, Rabbi. You're saying if a person is supposed to just say that I trust in God, even if I don't understand it, and that's the proper approach, then why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just do that? That's a very easy thing to do. Moshe would have done that.
Right.
So you're saying must be a person is not supposed to just do that.
That's correct.
And that's why you're trying to analyze exactly what went wrong here, because and that can't be the pshat, or else Moshe would have just done that.
Yeah, that's correct.
And by Abraham, he said in his mind that Hashem Yigrom Achet, so he had an answer.
Yes.
So there was no question in that case, okay.
Right, you're just saying, right. You're just saying. It's a good point. And we're stuck on a good point. Yeah, I'm taking it, well, I have to look into it. But maybe the pshat is that what God conveyed to him was that he's going to interfere with Baruch's Bechira. And that was something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. So his question was good, because based upon his knowledge, he was right. But the answer that God gave him was that it's going to happen because he's going to interfere with Baruch's Bechira, which is something which God doesn't do. But in this case, he did it. So that interference with Baruch's Bechira was what allowed Klal Yisrael to rise up again and to regain courage. But without that, it would be impossible. So Moshe Rabbeinu was correct. So it wasn't the question, it was the fact that he posed the question. The only thing I'm concerned about is, does it say before in the Pesukim that God said he's going to interfere with his Bechira, or it simply says that God told him what decision Paro is going to make. The Pesach says, but I don't think it says that God interfered with his Bechira. That was something which God doesn't do. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had a right to assume that. And assuming that, he was right, that the mission would be impossible. So that would explain why his question was a good question, was a legitimate question, and the only thing wrong about posing the question was the fact that he assumed that Klal Yisrael did not lose their ability for Gula. Does that work? I think it does.
Yeah, he doesn't say that, you're right. He just says that he won't send them.
That's right. He just tells him what his decision is going to be. But the decision was done through Bechira. But he doesn't say he's going to interfere with this Bechira. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that, and therefore his question was a legitimate one. That without that, it couldn't take place. His evaluation was right. And he had a right to present it to God because it was a true evaluation. But what was wrong was that he posed the question. That was wrong.
What are you saying that Hashem had to take away Paraj Bechira in order for what? For Bnei Israel to... In order for what?
The Man Revos Mofsai. That the Mofsim would take place, that would change the situation.
Well, why? What changed from this net to this point? Why did Paro making them gather the straw make him change that perspective? Like, if he didn't know originally that Hashem would take away his Bechira, why did it make sense originally? And now it says a problem with it.
What do you mean? What
mean? He accepted at the Sneh, he accepted the Shlichus based upon there's going to be Osos and Mofsim. At the Sneh, he accepted that.
That's correct. But to what extent? In other words, not to the extent where he's going to take away powers of Bechira.
Okay. And now that after Paro said, you know, Nirpim Atem, and he made them collect the straw, now what changed?
No, what changed was that in order for the Gula to take place, it would be necessary for God to take away Paro's Bechira.
But why?
A set of Mosim that would be so great that the Kol Yisrael would be able to return to on their course of Gula.
Oh, I see. You mean originally, before this point, the Osos and Mosim wouldn't have had to be as great for Bnei Yisrael in order to accomplish their purpose. But yes. Once, you know, this whole problem with Paro and Bnei Yisrael, then he realized the Osos and Mosim would have to be greater, and they could only be accomplished if they were a certain, like, so great, and then there's no way Paro would be able to stand it unless he took away his Bechira.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
Wait, Rabbi, I don't know if this is there's a pasuk in Shmos, Dalet Chaf Aleph.
Yeah.
So there's Yom Hashem El Moshe Blechtecha Lashu Mitzrayim Re'ei Kol Hamosim Asher Samti V'Yadecha V'Asisam Lifnei Faro V'Ani Achazek Aslibo V'Lo Yishalach Asam.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean that he took away his Bechira. That means that he's going to give him courage to stand up to the effect of the nation.
So how do we know the Zechir was ever taken away then?
Oh, because it says, in the last one, it says that God took away his Zechir.
Well, it uses a different lashon than just Chizuk Lev?
Yeah, that's correct.
Like Kaved Lev, is that the term or is it something else?
I mean, you got to take a look.
Okay, but there's a different lashon there. Okay.
I mean, there's definitely the Masorah that we have.
Right. No, I know that. I'm just wondering why Achazek Aslibo in this case doesn't mean taking away his Bechira. You're saying it's a different lashon expressed by the Bechira getting taken away.
That's right.
Okay.
Achazek Aslibo means I'll give him the strength to stand up to the sudden effect of the Nisan. But Achadei means he's going to change his Bechira, take away his Bechira.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sforno says that.
Sforno says that?
He says, Vani Chazek is Levo, Kibioso Bilti, Yocho, Lispo, Hamako, So Yemashalach is unbelievable, but Lomit Nesha Yichna, or Kelly's Barach, Lasso Svitono, Uzek Hizek is Levo, Shays Ames, Lispo, Hamako, Svilti, Shilkom.
That's correct. That's right. Yeah, Sforno
says that. Yeah, but the Sforno says that he didn't take away his Bechira. He goes through the whole Sforno.
No, I thought.
Never takes. He said God never takes away his Bechira. He means in that sense.
Right,
that he won't be crushed. So he'll have Bechira. To the contrary, so he'll have it.
No, I know, but he was asking if this pasuk is a kasha. But you see the way Sforno learns, he didn't take away his Bechira. That's all.
This Sforno rejects the whole idea that Hashem took away his Bechira.
Even on the less ones.
That's what it seems. If you read that Sforno, he says God never does that. Kilo echbots b'mos harasha ki im b'shuvu midarko b'choya.
He says
that with regard, he doesn't make any distinction. I mean, the Rambam holds the other way. I mean, the Rambam doesn't mention the last five. The Rambam just holds that sometimes, that whole concept, that sometimes the chayit is so great and so forth, that the punishment is that Hashem takes away his Bechira. But I don't think the Sforno learns that way. Indeed, I don't think the Rav, I saw the Rav, something on that, seemed not to agree with the Rambam. No, he didn't openly say he doesn't agree with him, but he says the same thing, Hashem never takes away a person's Bechira. I wanted to be more clear, though, exactly the question that Aaron asked. Why was it essential? I mean, you see, according to this, why was it essential that God take away his Bechira for the Jews? I mean, that, even according to the Rambam, that's a punishment to Paro. But why was that essential to the whole Geula process?
That would bring in the Nisan. The extra Nisim and Mosim, which would give Klal Yisrael the strength to to rise up and go out. In other words, that was the underlying reason why you had the last makos, which were essential to undo the harm that was done to them by the loss of self-confidence, self-worth.
Well, that seems to be a result. I mean, that seems to be more connected to the chen factor.
Of what?
To the chen factor.
Yeah, but the chen factor went into place in the last makos.
Right, and that's what restored them. We don't, you know, and then you have makos b'choros when they smile the shalchem.
Yeah, but in order for them to have the strength, they had to have those makos. I mean, that's pashut. That without those makos, they couldn't make it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, at that point, we could say, did not know that that would take place. So therefore, he assumed that they can't do it.
He didn't know that the makos would take place.
That's correct.
So, Rabbi, so you're saying that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have, I mean, there's no reason he should think that God's going to take away Paras Bechira. And therefore what? Are you still saying therefore he shouldn't?
And therefore, his knowledge of the last makos does not exist.
Okay. And therefore he shouldn't have asked God the question, Lomar Yosa, he should have just said the mission's over because it's not possible anymore?
Yeah, the question is, it's not that he asked Lomar Yosa. What was wrong was that he posed the question.
But rather, he should have just said it's impossible. Apparently, the mission is over.
That's correct, because of Kol Yisrael's failure. He should have said it was Kol Yisrael's failure, not the mission.
You're saying there's no way he should be able to anticipate that God's going to take away Paras Bechira and make it possible again.
That's correct.
Rebbe?
Yeah, go ahead.
You were asking before, you were making a point that we have the Mesorah that there was not a removal of Bechira until the sixth, meaning Barad. So it says over there that two interesting things. And then he also says, I'm wondering if that's alluding to the fact that he's going to make him withstand it without, you know, Bechira.
No, they're definitely according to those who run away, yeah, that's for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering, what does it mean that he's Shaleach is kol magev osai el libacha?
Correct.
That answers Ellie's question before, because it's not using chazak can mean, you know, a few things, but here he's using a different lesson, Ellie.
I see, Rabbi. What you're saying is that he had no Moshe's assessment of Kali Sol's state and their ability to rise up, given the fact that he had at that time was absolutely correct.
That's right.
Okay, and then at that point, based on that conclusion, he should have had no problem. Yeah, I'm just trying to get it clear in my head. That's all. So he should have had no problem concluding at that point that the mission, the shlichus, was gone now. And that he should have just left it there. But since he was so invested in the shlichus for whatever reason, that's why the question became problematic.
That's correct.
Okay.
He could have said that this Canaan didn't live up to what they were supposed to.
That's it. Uh-huh. Right. So there was no mistake by assuming that Klal Yisrael cannot recover at this point. Yeah, no, he made no mistake in that assessment.
That wasn't a mistake.
Yeah. That was he had all the facts the facts he could have at his disposal at that point. Pointed to that conclusion.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. So, right. So at this point, I think the answer is clear. What we're saying is there was no mistake in this question. The mistake was that he posed the question, and that was a misevaluation of Kol Yisrael.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
But then shouldn't the answer have been that Hashem should have told Moshe that I'm going to harden his heart?
Atasira, as the rest of the Pharaoh.
Right, but he didn't say that in harden. Like, he already told him he's going to do a lot of things to Pharaoh. The pivotal point here is that he's going to take away his free will.
Yeah, that's correct. But You can't say, you can't expect the pasuk to say everything openly. Well, we know that there was a communication. And the communication we're saying was that he's going to take away his bechira. So that's what it means. Kibyad chazal gishachem, kibyad, what's pasuk, what's lashna pasuk? Kibyad chazal gishachem, kibyad, That's a, so we're saying that was the message, that was the message that he's going to take away his bechira. You can't go, we can't expect everything to be open in the pasuk. All the pasuk is saying is that there was a communication of some sort concerning the concerning power on the Nisan. And we're saying that that's what the communication was. I mean, that's not a kasha, it's not open in the pasuk. Yeah, rough areas.
He says again, the first pasuk in Bo, again about Ellie's question about the chazik libo, that can mean even not referring to Bechira, but he says in the beginning of Bo, ki ani hechibadati el libo.
That's correct.
So there's a different lashon when he talks about removing Bechira.
Which mark is that?
That's the first pasuk in Bo.
Yeah, that was after Makas what? After Barad.
After Barad. Well, Barad was the first one that Chazal said that he started with the sixth one. That was Barad. That was the first one where he took away the Bechira. And this is right after that.
Correct.
He also says the term Hisalalti Bimitzrayim.
Yeah, so are there any questions left?
No, just if you get a chance to think about the that later Rashi. With the other stories with the Avos, if it fits in. Because like, they're a little different than the Akedah contradiction.
That's true.
Right.
We wanted in our main objective was to answer the contradiction by the Akedah.
Right.
That was our primary goal. If we answered that very well. That he should have, they thought Shemegram Achet.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. Just the only thing is like, it seems like it's the same Chazal, Rashi of Meharach Hamidosai. And I'm not sure you can really say that for those other three cases. If you're going to say they should have said Shemir Gomachet. And maybe you could, I don't know, maybe if you think about it. I'm curious if you would say the same thing there.
Yeah, what was the lesson in the war there?
I mean, Allah.
He goes through each one, right?
Yeah.
You mean Vekatoti?
No. In Perek Vav, in Pasuk Ches, Rashi has, he says, Kishabikesh Avram Likbor Sara, Lo Matze Kever, Ashakanabadam Yerubim.
Yes.
That's the first one by Avraham. Vachem be Yitzchak, Iro Lav Al Beiros Asher Chafar. Vachem be Yaakov, Vayikin Ischakas Asada. Sorry, Lintos Lalo. Velo Hirhu, Acher Midosai. Vatamata Lomariosa. So it's the same thing as here, Acher Midosai, but it's like God gave Avraham the land, like La Arkal Rachba. Right, like he walked it, and he gave the land to Yaakov, but then they still have to like buy the land, and it's like how they couldn't get the water. So it's like,
what was the problem?
I know, the whole thing is a little bit strange. What exactly is the contradiction? I mean, I think that was Mendy's original question, that he gave it to them in the future. But it could be like that Chazal's assuming that he gave them a schus in it right now. Like he was koneh through like Kenyan Halicha or something. Even though they had it, a Kenyan, they still have to buy it. I'm not exactly sure what the...
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Yeah, what's so terrible that they had to buy it?
Even though he had like already given them the land. I think that's the assumption. They had already been given the land, like it's chus in the land, they still have to buy it.
They still have to buy it.
It doesn't sound like such a terrible thing. That's a normal thing. They were very careful. It's on there. They were very careful not to graze. It wasn't their land yet. They recognized that.
Yeah, that's correct. The Chazal is difficult by itself.
Right.
And besides, Avraham offered that. He said, you have the land, take it.
Avraham
insisted. I'm sorry, Ephraim. Yeah, Avraham insisted on paying. He wanted to pay for his purposes.
So what was the big thing?
I always wondered about that. I mean, whatever you want, Ephraim becomes the worst person in the world. I mean, he said, take it. It's yours, you know. And he mentioned the number, it's worth this amount. Okay, he mentioned, but it's worth a lot of money. So what? But Avram wanted to pay.
That's correct. Yeah, that itself is difficult.
That's not even considered one of the Aser Nisyonos, is it?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Take a look.
That's a big question. Yeah, what did he expect of him? Efren, what he expected was that Efren should give it to him. Efren wanted to give it to him.
He wanted, yeah. He's painted in such a bad light simply because he mentioned the number. he says a lot and does not, you know, it's like, seems like a little bit extreme.
In other words, Balotar is saying he was a politician. That he really didn't mean what he really didn't mean it. Which means that if Avram would have taken it, he would have had a complaint.
But he would have. I understand why Avram wanted to pay for it. It makes sense and all that.
Right.
But again, it doesn't seem like the biggest problem. I mean, it's right. A normal kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the whole Chazal was difficult.
Yeah, at the time of the Atacha, I mean, you know, they were aware that people owned that land, that Hashem was Mafiach, so what they think is going to magically, you know, ownership is going to magically dissipate, nobody would have thought that.
That's right.
To the contrary, they treated him very well. Masi, Elokim Atav Zachenu, B'mitcha Kvarenu, Kvaras Mesecha, Ishvimenu, what does it say, Lo Yechlim Chal?
B'Kvar Mesecha.
Yeah, so they treated him like a king.
Right. No, you're right. The plain shot is difficult.
Well, the 10th, I was just taking a look in Avos, Rabbeinu Yonah says the 10th, the sermon to Avram was Kavura Sarah. I'm not sure what aspect of it, though. And he says, Kashemesa Ishto, Lamotza, Mokum, the Kavura, Shekano, the little higher.
So you're saying it's one of the 10 Nisyonos?
It is, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. I think there were different enumerations between him and the Rambam, though.
Okay. That's separate room.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the second one by Yitzchak and the Beiros? And the third one was what? By Yaakov? By Yikin Yitzchak as a Sura?
Yeah.
That he had to pay for the Yisura. I mean, it seems to be like an overall statement that God made the others go through political methods. And he didn't simply clear the way for them that they could act according to what they what was right. In other words, he didn't intervene with the natural political law. So that was with Avram and Ephraim. That Avram had to do it in a way that was according to the natural political law. And God didn't spare him. It really would seem that God should have spared him. He shouldn't have to go through the natural political law. But God didn't do that.
But it doesn't seem that Avram had that expectation.
What's that?
It doesn't seem that Avram had such an expectation that he'd be disappointed, that he thought that God would spare him from all that.
It doesn't say that, but you can't prove it from the fact it doesn't say anything.
No, I'm just saying he came down and there was a famine. You could see a little bit that below here that I could see. Because why'd he bring me here if there's a famine? I have to leave. But the fact that you're assuming that Avram had an expectation that he wouldn't have to deal with any kinds of issues?
No, not that he had an expectation, but Chazal is saying that according to the system of Torah, God should have spared him from the involvement in the political.
Yeah, but then it's not a fine. But then it's different than it's Akasha. But it's not a mile of Avram's. It's only a mile if Avram had a certain expectation and he was disappointed and he didn't question. But if he was okay with buying it, never occurred to him that he should not buy it. So then, why is there a mile of it?
Yeah, but what you don't know his expectations. Torah doesn't talk about it.
So you're assuming that they were?
Could be. Maybe Chazal was saying that.
Well, I know where they get it from.
What's that?
I'm saying, where did they get that from?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, why do they assume it should have been that way?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Okay.
Did I mention, with regard to having to say that Sarah was his sister? That was a big test, that she was taken by Abimelech.
Yeah, that's one of them. That's one of the incentives.
Yeah, that I understand. Because that's, like, severe, you know, that's, like, different category than by having to buy the field or pay for it.
Yeah, that's true. And what did they see so terrible in buying the field? Well, I think Chazal is saying is a lo matza kever, right?
Right.
Yeah, lo matza makom lekavra.
So in other words, there was a point there where he was over, he simply didn't have a place to bury her. So for that moment, he went through the terrible suffering.
Then they say, lo matza ella, kavra ella. You didn't find anything but this?
Ad shik.
What's the lesson?
Lo matza makom lekavra ad shikano for lo higher.
Oh, ad shikano.
But this is the Reina Yonah. Maybe Aaron wants to read the one from the that he was quoting.
I mean, there's a Rashi version. I mean, the Medrash, Rebbe says lo matza by all three of them, the way the Medrash has it.
What's the lesson?
The Medrash has it, lo hirachem midosai, amarti l'Avram kum hisalech ba'aretz l'arko l'rachba. So he told Avram to be going to Kona the land, l'arko l'rachba, b'kish likbor sara v'lo matza, ad shekana b'damim, v'lo hirachem midosai.
So there was a moment that he didn't know if he'd have a place to bury her altogether.
Right.
Then so that moment had serious anguish.
Right. And it says by Yitzchak, Amarti li Yitzchak, Gor Baretz Ezos, Ki Lecha Ulozarecha V'Gomer. Right, that he's going to give the land to Yitzchak, like Ki Lecha, right? Bikesh Lishtos Mayim V'lo Matza. He wanted to drink water, he couldn't find any water. Ela, by Rivu Roi Grarim Roi Yitzchak, V'lo Hirach Amidosai.
So in other
words, he didn't have anything to drink.
In other words, there was no reason for him to suffer like that.
Right. And by Yaakov it says, Amar to Yaakov, Ha'aretz asher atah shochev aleha, yitzlecha, nen ozarecha. Bikesh makom lintos olo v'lo matza. Ad shekana b'mea kesita. Below here, Acher Midosai, below Shalani, Mashami, Kashim Shalta.
Ah.
But I mean, it's prefacing it by, in a sense, a contradiction between, like, God gives them up as the land, and then they can't bury their mason, and they can't drink water, and they can't pitch their tent, but after he gives it to them, the land.
In other words, they knew that they were going to get it. But they have the anguish of the moment that it seems it's not going to happen. And apparently they didn't allow the anguish to affect them. They weren't overcome by the anguish. That's what Chazal seems to be saying. In other words, they had that midah that the anguish did not really affect them. That's what they seem to be saying. If that's the case, it's very nice. In other words, it's not the fact that they had a bad land. It's the fact that Chazal are pointing out that they were above, that the anguish didn't disturb them. That's the point. The momentary anguish didn't affect them.
I mean, affect them in what way? What should they have?
There's nothing that overt, but the Chazal is revealing a covert thing about them.
What would be Mahar? It says each one. It says below here, after me dosai. Like, what would that mean in those cases?
That would affect them in some way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a delicate point that they weren't affected by the momentary dead end. And apparently Moshe Rabbeinu was.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
The term Lo Hayarach Midosai, does it mean that they didn't look at those travails as God's will? They didn't blame it on God, so to speak? Or that they said, listen, it is God, but I don't understand it? And it could be, you know...
I'm saying a totally different job. I'm saying that they didn't, it didn't affect them. That's what Chazal is saying.
It didn't bother them, you mean?
It's a subtle point. It didn't bother them.
Mm.
Did they mention the one about Shem raping Dina? That's a much worse travail.
Yeah, but that was different because they got themselves into that problem by making the agreement.
No, I mean the original rape of and kidnapping.
Of Dina.
Yeah.
Doesn't mention it. I don't know. You mean were they affected by that?
Well, that was something that's a big thing. You know, that's not a small thing.
That's correct. But if Chazal are just simply introducing an idea that they weren't affected, that's a different concept.
From the overt facts, it doesn't seem that way, but that's how Chazal says.
What?
I think from the overt facts, you don't get that impression. You get the impression he didn't find a place until he had to pay for it. I mean, he didn't find something for free.
Well,
the kind of thing he wanted. Yeah, the kind of thing he wanted was special. He wanted a special place, and he insisted on paying for it. So.
No, you're right.
The leak, when you first hear it, it doesn't grab you like that.
Well, that's why I need a Chazal.
I know that. They had a different way of looking at things.
And the question is, how do they know that they were not affected?
That's also a good question.
But apparently, that's the way they learn. I don't know. Okay, we'll stop here.
Okay, shkach,
guys.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Tough areas.
Yeah.